It's been a merry opening week here at the 67th Cannes Film Festival. We've had premieres and press conferences, masterworks and duds. Grace of Monaco laid an egg on the red carpet, and Arnold Schwarzenegger rode a tank up the Croisette, reportedly killing hundreds of innocent pedestrians. We've now reached the halfway mark. The rain is falling, and we've come to the UK Film Pavilion to take the temperature of the festival so far. Today at Cannes, David Cronenberg shines a light on the inbred Hollywood gene pool in Maps to the Stars, and Steve Carell's sad sack billionaire buys himself a wrestling team in Bennett Miller's Foxcatcher. Here seeking shelter from the storm is Andrew Pulver and Peter Bradshaw. Peter, we've just come out of a screening of Foxcatcher, Bennett Miller's film with Steve Carell as a plutocrat who wants glory. And it's kind of come out of nowhere to be almost a sort of joint favourite maybe for prizes next Saturday.
I'd heard some interesting things about it, but I hadn't heard that it was going to be quite as good as it actually is. For me, this is the second real five-star movie of the festival after Mr. Turner. I thought it was absolutely superb. I think it had everything that Moneyball had, Bennett Miller's previous sports movie about Moneyball. It had all of his brilliant eye for all the corporate spaces of sports, all the offices and the arenas and everything, which no other director, I think, has really played on, but has found a really compelling masculinity in crisis story. I really didn't know anything about the true life story that it was based on, this extraordinary story of how this spoiled rich kid, John DuPont, decided to use his mother's wealth to bankroll America's wrestling team for the 1988 Seoul Olympics and got into a weird kind of macho mind game situation with the two wrestling brothers.
Yeah, it's a sort of love triangle drama,
yes,
isn't it?
It's the most extraordinary love triangle, but interestingly not homoerotic, really. I found that all the wrestling scenes fascinating because they were so intimate, more intimate than dancing in a way, more intimate than screen portrayals of sex. They were more explicit and more protracted than screen portrayals of sex, and in a way more interesting. I found it absolutely stunning, intriguing. It puts you inside their weird world, not just their professional world, which is interesting and exotic enough, but their very seriously messed up psychological world.
Do you have any idea who I am?
No.
Some rich guy calls you on the phone. I want Mark Schultz to come visit me. Well, I'm a wrestling coach, and I have a deep love, the sport of wrestling, and I wanted to speak with you about your future, about what you hope to achieve. What do you hope to achieve, Mark?
In the last 24 hours, we've seen two very good American films, because we also had Maps to the Stars, which is David Cronenberg's satire, very acid black satire on the Hollywood elite.
Absolutely. I mean, I really, really like this one. I have to say, I did actually like it a lot more than Cosmopolis, which was the one he brought here a couple of years ago. Cosmopolis sort of required a very sort of icy formalism, which I actually don't think Cronenberg's got within himself, really. What he has got is this sort of incredible affinity for very sort of trashy pulp, and that was Maps to the Stars in spades. I mean, it's this fantastic story, very complicated, multi-stranded thing about sort of various characters who are sort of part of the Hollywood ecosystem, most of them sort of scrabbling for survival.
There's a real kind of gung-ho cast in here as well. They look like they're really having fun.
Yes, it is interesting that there's a sort of a Curb Your Enthusiasm thing going on, but almost darker than Curb Your Enthusiasm. The only star playing herself is Carrie Fisher. Yeah. And part of the fun is, you think that when she talks about, oh, I know Carrie Fisher, you think, oh, she must just be kidding us or kidding herself. But no, she really does know Carrie Fisher, and she gets this job. It's written by this fascinating writer called Bruce Wagner, some of whose work I've read. And it's very dark. I mean, it's much darker than you'd expect a satire about celebrity, because there's nothing that makes your heart sink more than hearing about an alleged satire on celebrity
made
by people who want desperately to be celebrities. So I thought this is going to be one of those things telling us what we know already. Guess what? Celebrity is bad. But actually, this movie is much stronger and fiercer and more knowing about that, because it's not a sort of outsider's view. It's an insider's view of what it's like to be a star and what it's like to be on the wane. That every triumph is poisoned by the fear of failure. You can see it happening. You can see it because you yourself have sneered at has-beens and failures, and you can see it in your own future too.
What's happening in LA?
Visiting family.
On the last season of Praise the Lords, I was making $300,000 a week. I was 9 years old. What are they offering?
$5 million.
What do you think?
I think we have their balls.
Havana, come on. The part's just written younger.
She used to let producers stick their cocks in her ass and pee.
Breathe.
I hired a girl. It's amazing.
Why is it amazing?
This isn't a very glamorous job. I'm not used to glamour.
She's disfigured, burned in a fire on her face.
People don't just enter our lives randomly. We call them.
The grotesques of Hollywood make merry in David Cronenberg's Maps to the Stars. Peter, we've now swung just past the halfway mark here at Cannes. Tell me you're like one or two or possibly three favourite films at Cannes so far.
I mean, I guess the two, there are two obvious ones, Mr. Turner and Foxcatcher. The third, I would say, is Jaime Rosales' Beautiful Youth, this fascinating Spanish film about the lost generation in Spain, the 20-something generation who are hit by the economic slump. Lovely, heartfelt film. Wonderful film.
Andrew, how about you?
I'm going to agree with Mr. Turner. I think it's a great film, and I think Mike Leigh's period films I always think are absolutely brilliant and almost better than his contemporary films. I like Maps a lot, which we were just talking about, and I suppose my third pick would probably be just about Winter Sleep, which is the Nuri Bilge Ceylan film, which I didn't love as much as Once Upon a Time in Anatolia, because it's sort of a bit more directionless than that, but it's still a sort of mighty statement in many ways, and very well worth it.
And Zan, if I could ask you, what are your three films?
I think you're too kind, Peter. I'm going to be very dull and go Mr. Turner as well. I think that's probably the standout. I also like Sissako's Timbuktu, which now feels like 100 years ago that we saw that. I think it was like the first day
terrific
or so.
Film,
But maybe the most kind of galvanising experience that I had in Cannes was at the screening of Welcome to New York. I'm not even sure if it's a great film, but just as a pure experience in
everybody's
the moment,
talking about it
was great.
Pouvez-vous me dire quels sont vos problèmes? Vous lisez pas les journaux? Vous n'avez pas la télé?
Donc, bonsoir. Vous ne voulez pas me dire quels sont vos problèmes?
J'essaye de te comprendre.
Finalement, vous diriez que ça valait la peine?
Oui, ça valait quand même la peine.
And that's it from the halfway mark of this year's Cannes Film Festival. My thanks to Peter Bradshaw and Andrew Pulver. My thanks to the UK Film Pavilion for putting a roof over our heads. We're now heading back out into the deluge to find some more films.